Welcome to the End Zone here on the Fandom Podcast Network. Last week, we were off Thanksgiving. Mr. Reitzel had a Raider Nerd adventure that involved some football, which we will get to. But also, this isn't a live edition of the End Zone. And by now, by the time this comes out, you'll have seen a social media blast. With everything that's going on with COVID and how it's affecting the NFL schedule and affecting fantasy waivers and everything like that, Kevin and I sat down and we talked about it. And we just feel like for the remainder of this season, at least, it's better if we just record the podcast instead of going live, because we just don't know when we can do it live to do justice without having a full plate of information, Kevin.
Agreed. Yeah, it's COVID's changed everything. And with games being postponed more than once and teams being affected, players being affected, it's weird. And it doesn't feel right to try to go on at the same time every week live when stuff's moving around. I mean, there was a game Wednesday.
Yeah, I know.
It's just weird. So we're going to kind of, go by the seat of our pants and try to put a show out there when we feel that it's ready to go. So, a lot of weird stuff going on, man. So until something happens, we'll figure it out. But this is just a weird, weird year. I'm glad at least the season's still going, but
are we sure that's a good thing?
when you don't have quarterbacks,
yeah,
your team, and you still play,
yeah. Quick thank you to those who did join us this season for live End Zones. We appreciated it. This is just too much craziness, and we want to make sure we're giving you the best quality show possible. And we just can't feel like we can do that with the uncertainties that are going on.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for a week-to-week type show thing, you know, so.
Yeah. Well, with that, Kevin, it is time to get to First Down. But even before we do that, because I guess we're a little out of practice on this and we've been used to doing it live, I guess I should tell everybody where they can find the End Zone, huh?
That helps, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Flag on me. That's a 15-yard penalty.
You don't have to, not 15, it would be 5-yard.
10-yard, you know, that's pretty big when you miss the information of the network. So anyway, you can find the End Zone on the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, first and foremost, we do have our new YouTube channel, which you were finding End Zone Live on. We still encourage you to go there. We got a lot of great stuff, including the Fandom Show, which is exclusive to YouTube. We're still doing Culture Clash Live on YouTube. Of course, we're putting all of our Audible podcasts on YouTube as well. Of course, you can still visit our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com, where you can find all of our podcast streaming. Of course, we're on all major podcast streaming networks, including Apple Podcasts and iTunes. And if you want to contact us directly, you can join our Facebook, look for our Facebook page, give us a like, Fandom Podcast Network, where we try to keep you updated on all the latest news and reviews out there. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, or on Twitter at FanPod Network. Of course, I'm Kyle. You can follow me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram, AKyleFandom. Kevin, social media time for you, my friend.
You can find me on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Of course, you can find me on the Fandom Podcast Network, and I'm also on Facebook.
And of course, we love reviews too, especially on iTunes. Leave us those 5-star reviews. Those are always nice, but we love the reviews in general. So we can always improve things around here and give you better podcasts to feed your ears. And lastly, it is the holiday season. Our TeePublic store, teepublic.com.
Search a lot of sales going on recently.
Yeah, and a lot coming. I just got the list for holiday sales. There's pretty much one every weekend throughout the holiday. Get at least 30% off, $13 tees.
Yeah, there was like a Cyber Monday, then there was a Cyber Wednesday.
Yeah, it's as bad as COVID. It's everywhere. But we like it. Pick up your gear for the Fandom Podcast Network. Again, tpublic.com. So let's try this again, Kevin. Let's see if we can get a little bit of First Down. First Down time, Kevin. We have some topics to talk about.
First Down.
But before we even get into that, let's talk a little bit of fantasy football here, Kevin. Do you have a man crush for this week, or should we just go with my ultimate man crush for the week and maybe for the season? Because he had like the biggest fantasy output of any wide receiver this season.
Well, go ahead. I'll give you mine afters.
Okay. Well, mine is Tyreek Hill. I have him on two of my three fantasy teams. 13 receptions, 269 yards, three touchdowns. He had two touchdowns and 203 yards receiving at the end of the first quarter of that game against the Buccaneers, Kevin.
That's insane. Yeah, that's a nice output against the Bucs, who are supposed to have a decent defense.
Yeah, it was fast, it was furious, and it included a backflip.
Nice.
So
I'm going to give it to a guy who's been very consistent this year. I took a chance on him out of my five leagues. I think I've got him in three, and this guy has just been the a bomb, and he's been healthy and just continuously doing well every week. Is Antonio Gibson for the Washington football team, the running back. I'm looking at like his points here, and this last week he did 20 touches, 115 yards, and three touchdowns, and he scored quite a bit of points each time.
Yeah, like no
fantasy points.
Yeah, no, he definitely has been a solid one. My runner up real quick, DK Metcalf. He didn't have a touchdown, but he had 10 receptions for 177 yards against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday night.
Did you say 177 yards?
Yes.
God, how do you do 177 yards and not have a touchdown?
Yeah, he had one deep catch and he got tackled at like the 3 yard line.
Jeez, man.
So, of course, fantasy, a lot of teams are either in their last week or their last 2 weeks as they're getting ready. It's playoff time is about here, Kevin. A lot of us weren't even sure we'd get this far.
This is true. And, with games being postponed and delayed, I had to like talk to you yesterday. I'm like, wait a minute, is that Baltimore, Steelers game actually going to happen? Cause my player was shown postponed. I'm like, great. I started him. Does that mean now I'm not going to be able to use him? And then all of a sudden, no, there's a game on Wednesday. So wait, hold on a second here. So this means, think about this. This just came to my brain. This means that a professional NFL football game has been played on every day of the week now. Because I don't remember
a Friday game.
Hold on. I don't remember a game on Wednesday because Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday. Then there was the Tuesday game this year. So there's been a football game played every day of the year at least.
No,
I'm sorry, Friday. Every day of the week.
No Friday game.
You sure?
Yeah, there hasn't been a Friday game yet.
Feels okay. Let's make it happen.
At this point, it could. who knows? But
feels like there has been. I don't know, like a playoff game or something.
I don't know. But we do have a few waiver wires. A lot of the similar names. But Cam Akers is back, and he seems to at least be getting the goal line carries for the Rams all now. Kevin, he's become one of those goal line vacuums. They're worse than the Patriots now because at least the Patriots have seemingly settled on Damian Harris.
Yeah, I can't. Like you said it a couple of weeks ago, they're worse than the Patriots now. The Rams, the backfield. But yeah, I could see why.
We've had a T.Y. Hilton sighting, Kevin. He's finally getting healthy, and he actually got his first touchdown of the season. But Phillip Rivers targeted him a bunch against the Tennessee Titans this week.
Is it going to be consistent, though? That's what I'm wondering.
At this point, are you expecting to get anybody who's going to be consistent?
I know.
It's hope and pray. Speaking of that, Nelson Aguilar is still out there in a lot of leagues.
He seems to score a touchdown every other week. I didn't get to see him do that this week recently. but he does have he is the receiver on the Raiders that has the most touchdowns.
And finally, speaking of a receiver, finally one to seem to step up for the Patriots, and that is Jacoby Myers, Kevin.
A favorite of Cam Newton.
Yeah. He seems to be the one that's kind of stepped up there. So interesting times in fantasy. Like I said, at this point, if your team's not really set, it's only because of COVID or injuries. It better not be that you're still trying to find somebody to plug in your starting lineup at this point.
What's weird is I've got several of my leagues. I'm in the running at like a 6-6 record or like a 7-5 record or something like that. I mean, I'm not cleaning up in any of my leagues, but I'm like in the running because a lot of other people have similar records,
Yeah. I've noticed that, especially in my large CBS Sports League, which is a 12 team league. Usually there's always one team that just kind of runs off and then everybody this year it's coming down to the last 2 weeks of who's going to be in and who's going to be out.
Yeah.
So definitely. So, but let's talk about our topics, including we will have our of course our fan huddle topic at the end of the show. But I mean, hot topic number one: more COVID, Kevin. We've had now the Ravens Steelers game get pushed back like three different times. And because of that, there was no Thursday night game because that had to get pushed back to next Tuesday. The Steelers are playing 12 games, or in, I'm sorry, they're playing three games in 12 days after all this movement around.
Yeah, so they were supposed to play the Thursday night game this week.
The Ravens right? were. No, it was supposed to be Ravens Cowboys.
Oh, the Ravens were. Okay, sorry. But that's been pushed back to Tuesday?
Next Tuesday, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Oh man, yeah. I did, you know, of course, being a Raider fan, I know how COVID has affected our team, and we were also, you know, fined and punished and made an example of. So,
well, not only you now, the Saints were punished with a huge fine, and they lost the 7th round pick for their celebration that got somebody videoed and put out on the social media in the locker room. Nobody wearing masks or anything.
Not good.
And apparently the Ravens have gotten some large fines because their COVID situation is due to some weight room mismanagement.
No picks taken away from them though, right?
Not as of yet. That could change still. So
yeah.
My question for you is this, Kevin. Are we to the point where the NFL just needs to say screw it and, you know, just say we're taking a week off. We're just going to reprogram everything, let everybody get quarantined, have a week where they're just down and then come back? Or is at this point, are we so close that they just need to plow through?
Yeah, it's too close to the end of the season. There's too much money and contracts and scheduled stuff that's on the line right now. And they're trying their hardest to try not to have that extra 18th week for any canceled games, you know, yeah. Or postponed games. They're, you know, because of the TV contracts and stuff, there's so much money online to try to take a week off. Anything short of a national disaster or terrorist attack like happened with 9/11, you know, that's not going to happen. The only way I could see that happening is if all of a sudden, boom, like 6 or 7 teams are affected so badly, they just can't do it. But they're going to try and keep the train rolling because of people watching and the revenue. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. But let's get to hot topic number two, Kevin. How did the Denver Donkeys let all their QBs get exposed to COVID to where they all became ineligible to play?
Yeah, this is something that, like,
they had 4 quarterbacks on the roster. Not one of them was pulled back. Like, no, you're signed, but we're going to put you over here away from everybody else. Cause I know that's what they're doing here in Tampa. They've got one quarterback who's just the assigned, like, no, you're just going to sit over here and not be part of the quarterback room. You're basically quarantined for the season unless we need you to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think teams are starting to really kind of do that, I think. But that was just weird. Not having a quarterback on the active roster, the game still goes ahead because they have Kendall Hinton, well, who is a wide receiver, right? And he was on, wasn't he on the practice squad too?
Yeah. So let me clarify this, because a lot of people have been saying, well, how is it the Ravens have this huge outbreak in games get postponed? The Broncos have an outbreak and they don't have a quarterback. Why aren't they postponed? Here's the NFL stance. It's not, if there's a COVID risk, a game gets postponed if it's a medical risk for multiple people, you know, more than this, not because of a competitive disadvantage it would cause. So in Denver's case, it was just these quarterbacks. They didn't have anybody else.
Plus, if they have bodies to be able to jump into that position and play, that's also in the decision-making as well.
Yeah, and I want to give props to Kendall Hinton, who came on, wide receiver who came up from the practice squad. He was a quarterback in college for Wake Forest. He played from freshman to junior year as a quarterback that moved to wide receiver. This kid showed up, played in an absolutely totally unfair situation, Kevin. Well, I mean they didn't even know until Saturday they didn't have a quarterback.
What are you going to do? You're just going to go throw them in there and just do the best you can, you know, but they only scored 3 points and, you know, didn't they only have like 10 snaps or something? So what did they do with the rest of the game?
A lot of wildcat.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game.
They said it was one of the fastest games in NFL history.
Yes, of course.
Because every play was a run play. So
I got to give it to Kendall, though. I was kind of rooting for him when I heard about this. I was just like, you know, I know you're on the donkeys, but good for you, man.
Yeah, exactly. So
let's I don't think he's lost his wide receiver spot, though.
No,
right?
No, he's good there. So let's go to hot topic number three, because we had another coach fired and two GMs. Of course, it was a full chopping block after Thanksgiving. No leftover turkey for Matt Patricia or the Lions GM. They're both out. This is probably long overdue. Interesting side note bar to this, Kevin. Of the 10 people that have been under the Bill Belichick coaching tree, only two of them have succeeded and had winning records as a head coach.
Who are they?
One is Josh McDaniels, who is still back to being an assistant now because of...
So he doesn't really count. He hasn't really left and, like, prospered.
Well, he went to Denver when he made the playoffs. They beat Pittsburgh the year... That was the Tebow year where they beat Pittsburgh. It was just he didn't get along with ownership and John Elway. And then the second is Brian Flores down in Miami.
Okay. All right.
But everybody else losing record and has not been able to stay on for more than three seasons as a head coach.
So I heard some news. Okay. You know how we're tired of having a Thanksgiving game in Detroit. We're also tired of the Cowboys always getting one. You know, I wish they would switch that up. But apparently, from what I heard, the reason why the Lions still get that game is because the Ford Motor Company pays out a lot of money to the NFL.
Yeah.
Lots of money. And apparently that's kind of like a gentleman's agreement type thing. Like, okay, you'll get your Thanksgiving game then.
Yeah.
You know? And the Cowboys. That's kind of where that is. So money talks. But I tell you, man, I didn't watch any games on Thanksgiving.
I really didn't care either. I watched a little bit. I got because the game turned into more of some scoring things going on with the Houston Texans. The Deshaun Watson can be a little fun. I watched maybe a quarter of that, but that was it.
Yeah. I like took naps and then ate food and then
took more naps.
Naps.
Yeah. Exactly. So, well, that brings us to the end of First Down. So, second down, Mr. Reitzel. It's time for those primetime game awards. This was tough this week, I'm not going to lie. But one thing that our primetime game nominees all have in common, the games are all decided within the final minute of the game.
That makes it a good contender.
So first up, we have the Vikings 28, Panthers 27. The Panthers base had this game. They just... The Vikings gave it away to them. They had a fumble. Panthers went down, scored, took the lead. There was like a minute something left, and the Panthers just let the Vikings go right down. Kirk Cousins marched right down the field and steal it from them. And it was actually a fun back-and-forth game. Game number two, Cardinals 17, Patriots 20. This was actually some ugly football, but it was won with a field goal with time expiring. So...
That's always a good contender as well when you're losing, they're winning or losing in the last few seconds.
Yeah. But another game ended with a time expiring field goal, and that was the 49ers beating the Rams 23-20. And at least for me, Kevin, I'm going to make that game the primetime game awards because that's the game that carried the most weight of all these games.
Oh, yeah. I would agree. I'm going to completely agree with you because that NFC West right now is getting very interesting.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot right now. Seattle's in first place. The Rams are right there. The Cardinals are right there. And don't count out the 49ers. They're getting a lot of people back healthy here right at the end of the season. Yeah,
we were kind of counting them out for the rest of the year, but not so fast.
Yep. Now, we also have, so that's our primetime game winner, but we also have our Thursday night game award loser. And I'm sorry, Kevin, I know you would maybe want to nominate a certain game, but it's got to go to the Saints Broncos just for the Broncos stupidity of allowing all their quarterbacks to be shut down because of COVID. They weren't wearing masks. They put them all in the same, let them all go into the same room. They have four quarterbacks on the roster. How do you not tell one of them you're not allowed at the, I mean, even when the fourth one is Blake Bortles.
Yeah, but I was at this game. And I really think the Raiders-Falcons game should really be on there because when you go into the Falcons stadium and they're not supposed to be very good and you're supposed to be better than them, you're supposed to be competitive, right?
Yeah, but there's some basic stupidity here that
when you got Raider fans hoping that the Falcons will put 50 on them just because of how angry you are with the Raiders. I mean, there should be a contender, right?
Okay, well, let's roll this in. It's time for a little Chiefs Raiders news. You have a Raider Nerd Adventure Week for holiday that included the Raiders Falcons game.
Yeah, I took Thanksgiving week off to go back to Georgia, visit my stepdaughter and in-laws over there, and of course my Georgia Star Wars nerds and Star Trek nerds and geeks, and also Raider Nation family. And there was a Raider Nation gathering on Friday night before the game. There was some other stuff going on Saturday, I think like a bus tour, but I didn't do that. And Falcon Stadium is one of those stadiums where you can't wear costume pieces that cover up your whole head. So I couldn't take my Mando Raider nerd costume there. So I wore it Friday night and just went, more Raider nerd casual for the game. Rain was scheduled for probably around halftime. Raider Nation showed up in full, man. I'll tell you, I think there was about 8,000 total fans that were allowed in the Mercedes-Benz Falcon Stadium for limited capacity. And they had pod seating, as the way they call it, where if you bought a ticket, you had to buy a ticket in these certain pods. And then they have the row in front of you or the row behind you that is not, you can't sit there, and literally you can't sit there. You can't move around because they actually zip tied, like, the type of ties that you handcuff people with, those big thick ones. Mm-hmm. They had those zip ties on all the seats you couldn't sit in. And so they were able to enforce and maintain the social distancing. And I was proud of Raider Nation because when we were waiting in line, getting in there, turns out there was about 70% Raider fans there to Falcons fans. I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, but it's Falcons fans.
you say what you want about it, but yeah, I mean, Raider fans are hungry to see their team since they can't see a game in Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. And Raider fans travel, as we know. So it was nice to have so many Raider fans there. And I had really good seats. I was probably about maybe 15 to 20 rows behind the Raiders bench, so I could see the Raiders all the time and what was going on. And unfortunately, it turned out to be a gigantic crap burger of a game.
Yeah, so I felt for you, brother, because I this wasn't a game that was on down here, but I was watching Red Zone and I'm just following this, and I'm like, I'm not rooting for the Raiders to win, but I was hoping you'd at least get a good game. And yeah, that was just some ugly football. Atlanta didn't play that well.
What's that?
I said Atlanta did not play that well in that game.
No, and it was interesting because the Raiders defense, I mean, it was kind of, for the first quarter, it was like back and forth, and finally the Falcons got a field goal, then they got another field goal. And it was normally it's the Raiders offense that kind of carries the game, and the defense just kind of keeps people at bay to the best that they can because they have not been good this year. But the defense actually had been keeping them in the game for a while, and our offense just was not clicking. Carr looked bad, and even from my own seat, I could tell that Carr, when it was a passing play, Carr was tipping his throw. He was immediately looking where he was going to throw it. He wasn't like looking around, scoping any other players to see if maybe they broke loose or they were open. He wasn't doing like a fake pump to kind of, draw the defense off position a little bit. If he was throwing it to Renfro, you saw it. If he was throwing to Ruggs, you thought it. And so I'm like, I'm watching this, and I'm sitting there actually with my friend Clint and his family. Clint is the proprietor of the original Atlanta Raider Booster Club in 2001. He started it, and he was the president, and now he's just a member. But he was there with his family. His son, who's 10, was watching his first football game. And I met some other great friends, there as well. And we were just frustrated. The offense was horrible. The offensive line was horrible. it was just one of the most depressing games. Most depressing game I've ever been to. And we were angry. It was just frustrating. And my friend Amy, who works for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a former coworker of mine while I was in Georgia, she offered to take me on a private tour of the stadium in areas that you normally can't go at the beginning of the third quarter, because we were still in the game after halftime. You know, we were down, I think, what was it?
I think it was 14 points, maybe?
No. Raiders didn't have 14 points. It was
no, you were down 14 points.
It was like 23-6, I think it was. Yeah. I think it was. And I'm like, yeah, get me out of here right now. Because, you know, they got the ball to begin with and just they gave it up 3 and out right away. And so it was cool, though. I got to see like the exclusive Gullwing Club. I got to see where Arthur Blank, the owner of the Falcons, got to see the door where his like exclusive suite was. And so that was really cool. And I was just like, I could hear like what was going on in the background of the game. Like that didn't sound good. That didn't sound good. And it was just, I'm still angry with the Raiders because I'm tired. I'm really, really tired of John Gruden and Derek Carr's after game losing. I'm sorry speeches. I'm really, really getting tired of it. It's becoming formulaic. And, you know, I don't need to hear how bad they were and the mistakes that they made. I was there. I got to see their body language.
Yeah.
They were defeated after the first quarter. So hold on. It felt like they didn't even care after a while. You know, I saw Max Crosby get mad. He always sat in the same spot afterwards, and he was getting frustrated being out there all the time because the defense was working their ass off, and they did their best to keep the Falcons, you know, at bay, but they were just getting gassed, you know. And it was just fans were getting frustrated. It was 70%. We started booing them, and it was just a bad experience for the amount of money I paid for that.
Okay, so I had a question for you because you always tend to look at your team differently when you see them live. And obviously the Raiders played maybe their worst.
Well, you see what's happening when everyone's gone to commercial break.
Yeah.
You see, and I could see the whole entire bench. I saw the way people were carrying themselves, walking around. It was just, you know, and then like, you know, Gruden's, I don't know who's calling these plays. I got to say it's possibly Gruden. I'm like, okay, you can't even get 5 yards here. And you're starting to do these passes behind the line of scrimmage and these out route things behind the line of scrimmage when that's not working for you. And you keep doing it. I mean, they barely went deep. It was really sad, dude.
Yeah. Well, so there's two things I want to address here. When we talked about off mic, and I want to bring it up because you haven't brought it up yet, was you think the Raiders bought a little bit into their own hype after, even though they lost to Kansas City because of how that game went, and everybody's saying, oh, the Raiders, they can play with anybody, and, you know, really kind of starting to, oh, they might be part of it. They might be climbing into the elite.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think happened. And I think that they were like, you know, we played really well against the Chiefs, even though it sucked that we lost. But as I said to you off mic, I said, don't let a loss beat you twice. And that's exactly what happened. There was so much hype that they were going to go in and you know, make it an easy go around against the Falcons and beat them because of the Falcons record. What really sucks, though, is that the Raiders have a horrible record against the Falcons over the years. This is the second time I've seen them play in Atlanta, and they've lost them both. Last time I saw them prior to that happened to be my first ever Raider game I saw in person when Carson Palmer was the quarterback for the Raiders. And that was his last year as a Raider quarterback, by the way. And they lost. And it's really, really frustrating because there's just so many good Raider fans that live in the Atlanta area. And, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves, and I am not going to forgive the Raiders for that loss because that was not. I just
yeah. So I had
they broke my heart that day, and it still hurts.
I had one other question for you because we kind of got into this a little bit before you left for Atlanta when you threw Derek Carr needs to be considered in the MVP.
Top. Oh yeah. He's been playing so well this year.
So my question is, after what you saw. And this isn't even about how bad the whole team played, but seeing the flaws that you saw on the field with him tipping off who he was throwing to and stuff like that, does it make you step back and go, maybe we need to reevaluate this car thing again, because he still obviously has some serious mechanical flaws that need to be worked on.
You know, what's funny is Clint was all over Carr. He was, and he was also really, my buddy Clint was also on offensive line. I was looking at the offensive line, and also there were some drops too. I can't put it all on Carr. The offensive line was horrible. The running was horrible, and their whatever routes or running there that they were trying to do, it wasn't just Carr. You know, so I can't put the blame on Carr, and I don't want to put the blame on Carr. I was actually rooting for the Raiders to bench Carr at the beginning of the fourth quarter because the game was well out of hand and I didn't want Carr to get injured. I was like, put in Peterman. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, Peterman's warming up. I'm like, oh, they're putting him in because they're taking Carr out of this game. I almost felt like at this point, because receivers weren't doing well, the running wasn't doing well, the play calling wasn't doing well, this was a full-on team player and coach loss. This was not a Carr thing specifically. Regarding him tipping his plays, I hope that's brought up again because I noticed it. I know that probably the defense noticed it on the Falcons bench.
Yeah. One last question, because I mean, if you have a healthy Marcus Mariota on the roster, does he start the second half of that football game?
He has been inactive all year.
And I know he's got a shoulder issue. That's what
I don't know what's going on there, but if anyone's going to come into play right now, it's not going to be him. It's going to be Peterman, because Peterman's been in all the meetings. He's been in all the games and he's been active entire year. So Marcus Mariota, I think, is actually, to be honest with you, is not only a big waste of a paycheck this year, I think he's a non-factor.
Well, speaking of wasted paychecks, I heard Trent Brown's practicing again.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting too, is I get these little notifications on my phone that, oh, you know, there's a, the head coach is talking live with or Carr's talking with the live, or this player's talking live. I ignored all of them because one thing that's interesting about this, Kyle, is that going into this Falcons game, 6-4 was their record. Last year, at this time before this weekend, they were also 6-4. But instead, the Raiders last year went into Jets and stunk it up and then lost 4 in a row, and their season was done.
They went 1-5 down the stretch last year.
This was the exact same feeling we were feeling, like this is the Jets game from last year. This is going to be the game that, like, if this season goes south, we're going to remember that this was the game that started it. And what's really, really, like, the weirdest thing, and it sucks, is the Raiders are going to New York, where they've had at that stadium the worst record over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Playing both the Giants and the Jets. Okay. And the Jets are 0-10. And I don't think they're going to lay down.
Well, Kevin, what I'm going to say to you, though, is it's a good thing you were on vacation and it's a good thing you were at the game on Sunday, because all you would have seen on any NFL coverage was Brady versus Mahomes. And you would have lost your mind because it was the GOAT versus the future GOAT. Yeah. Now, what I find interesting here on the Chiefs game, Chiefs shot out to a huge lead, 17-0. Tyreek Hill had over 200 yards receiving in the first quarter. Patrick Mahomes had almost 400 passing yards by halftime. But the Chiefs defense let the Buccaneers kind of hang around. And granted, they were burning them on the pass, but the Buccaneers have been one of the best teams against the run all season, and it showed again. They have not allowed a rusher to get more than 60 yards against their defense the entire year, Kevin.
That's good.
So, and they did. They shut down both Bell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire in that game.
But their secondary and stuff, I guess, isn't that great.
Their secondary is actually very good. It's just they had nobody who had the speed to cover Tyreek. Tyreek and Hardman could have had a 98-yard touchdown, and he dropped the ball. So, but Kansas City, the defense, I'm getting a little concerned about that. It's looking like before they got really hot at the end of last season, it kind of feels like it's taken a step back. I think they got time to get it corrected. But yeah, it was amazing though, because there was a lot of controversy before the week. People were getting on Tom Brady for not shaking the last week's Jared Goff's hand after the Rams game. Well, he made sure he hunted down Patrick Mahomes and shook his hand in this game. And so, but a lot of people are still giving great. Oh, he only shakes the hands of quarterbacks he respects. But
It's interesting. I was watching ESPN, and all they could talk about was Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. You know, is this the fall of their season? Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. They just love talking about Tom Brady. That's great. Yeah.
Well, in this game, when I was watching it, I was Romo and Nance were on it. Romo basically said, "Tom, you might be the GOAT, but it's Patrick's league right now."
Yeah.
But it was a fun game to watch. Kansas City's 10-1. I wish Pittsburgh would lose a damn game, but it's going to get interesting. But Kevin, we had no teams have a bye week. Everybody played this week.
There's byes this week, though.
Yeah, both the Buccaneers and the Panthers have byes this week.
Is that weird? That's weird, isn't it?
That's very weird. Awful late in the season. Yeah. So, well, we're going to take a quick break and come back, talk about what might be the primetime games for this upcoming week, and a little bit of fan huddle as well. We'll be right back after we tell you what else is going on around the Fandom Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback podcast discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien. You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
And we're back, and hopefully you're enjoying everything we're doing here at the Fandom Podcast Network. I'm still got a little turkey tryptophan going on, obviously, even though it's been a week, but we're back, so it means it's time for Third Down, which means it's time to look ahead, Kevin. And starting with looking ahead, let's take a look at who our guys are playing. My Chiefs are playing the Denver Broncos on the Sunday night primetime game. I think this was flexed into there because Kansas City wasn't scheduled for any more primetime games this season.
Half your season has been on primetime, dude.
Well, when you have the top attraction in the NFL, people want to see it.
This is true. This is true.
Yep. But
yeah, could a new stadium, but it doesn't matter.
Are you worried about this week, Kevin?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
Wait. Are the Las Vegas Raiders, to get revenge for losing to the Jets this year, going to mess up their Trevor Lawrence plans?
Yeah, because, well, first of all, Trevor Lawrence doesn't want to play there.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, yeah, the Raiders, they're letting that Chiefs loss beat them twice. And I don't know. I actually have not been listening to, I'm so angry with the Raiders right now. I'm not listening to any podcast this week. I'm not listening to any of their press conferences. I am putting them in the corner. They're on restriction right now because I am so mad at my team for having to see that crap burger this last weekend. And I don't want to hear what they're working on. I don't want to hear them at all. I'm going to watch this game, but I'm not excited for it because I am pissed at them right now. And I don't want to hear any more apologies. Just do your job. You know, 6 points is ridiculous, especially with that offense that you have. Yeah. And it doesn't feel good. And this isn't even like a trap game situation. I'm tired of that term anyway. I think it's overused when it comes to stuff like this. You know, you're going back to the East Coast and you're going to a venue that you just can't seem to win at. And they're 0-10, right? You know, is that right, yeah. Kyle? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jets. I mean, who else? They could still beat the Raiders and get that top pick. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if they lose to the Jets, Gruden has to go on a hot seat just because, right?
He's already on a hot seat right now.
Yeah,
you know, so. I don't know. I mean, they got so many young players right now. They're trying to groom and get better and better. But it's just frustrating because Henry Ruggs is not being utilized well at all, and it's the way that they're game planning for the players. It's making our draft picks look like draft busts.
Yeah. I feel your pain, man. I do. I mean, I've been there a few years ago before.
I should say this. They're 6-5 right now. They are still technically in a hunt for a playoff spot, yeah. But they need to go on a run here. They need a winning streak. They need to beat the Jets. They need to beat Denver. They need to beat the Colts. Colts are going to be tough, but at least they're playing at home. I don't know if that matters right now because no Raider fans are there. So it's more like a neutral site, actually. So I don't know, dude. They're still in hunt, but after losing last week the way they did and the teams that they needed to lose last week, like the Browns and the Dolphins, they just shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah. I can understand that. So, but let's move forward and let's look at the primetime picks for games. Game number one, I think, is maybe the marquee game of the week. The 8-3 Browns versus the 8-3 Tennessee Titans.
That's a good one right there.
Who would have thought that? But yeah.
We need both those teams to lose, though.
I think in your case, you would much rather have the Browns lose.
Yes. I'd rather have the Browns lose because I think the Titans are probably going to be the ones who are going to take that division.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think you need to be rooting for the Browns to lose. Interesting game. I don't think it might be exciting and fun to watch unless you're really into the running game between Nick Chubb and Derrick Henry, who might be the two best running backs in the league right now.
Yeah, that's going to be a lower scoring game, I think, not a shootout.
Yeah. Game number two, Rams versus Cardinals. It's the NFC West. Anytime NFC West teams get together, it's fun.
That's true.
So I think that could be entertaining. It was hard to find three. So, Kevin, I kind of went with one to honor our good friend Bob. The Bills versus the 49ers.
Where is this game at?
I think it's actually going to be played in Arizona because San Francisco can't play at home.
Why?
Because of rules in Santa Clara where you cannot have any kind of activities that involve contact right now.
Are you sure about that? Is that still a thing?
Yeah, the 49ers cannot play at home.
Why are the LA teams playing in their stadium? I'm confused.
Because it's Santa Clara. That's a Santa Clara, San Francisco thing. LA doesn't have that.
How am I just finding this out right now? What's going on?
It happened while you were on vacation.
Okay. Yeah, I was kind of had blinders on that week. I had the Raiders and my daughter on thing this. Okay. If I had to pick one of these, it's tough. Probably the more fun one would be Rams and Cardinals. But that Browns Titans game, I watched that as a Raider fan, just because keep an eye on it because for the obvious reasons.
Yeah. I think the more fun football would be Rams Cardinals, but I think Browns Titans has way too much riding on it.
Agreed.
So, okay. Finally, it's time, Kevin. It is now. Fourth down, which means it's time for the fan huddle. Kevin, it's time to be honest. Has this been a good year for the NFL, or has it just been there as a distraction? between COVID and the weirdness going on and everything. We've talked about this off mic. Is this a good NFL season, or has it just been just like,
it's not a good NFL season overall because of what COVID's done. But as fans, we need this season. We really do. We need, NFL, I think, has done a pretty good job under the circumstances, because this is a worldwide pandemic, and it has changed the world. It is going to change the future on many levels, not just sports, but entertainment as well. And I don't want to say that this is just a bad season of football because of COVID. I'm actually kind of surprised. I mean, I was calling for them to just call it off this year. You know, I said that publicly on a Facebook post. I said, just postpone this season. Let's be safe and let's get this through, you know. And I had a lot of people saying, no, what are you talking about? They can still do this. And when I look back, I'm like, I'm glad there's been a season, you know. And I don't want this Super Bowl winner to feel like they're going to be like an asterisk next to their win because of what's happened. Because all teams have been dealing with COVID. And I think that, you know, whoever the Super Bowl winner is and your team is the favorite, how you run an organization through a time like this, Kyle, and you're able to still do well and win the top prize will say a lot about the Super Bowl winner.
I agree. I think it's been more of a roster mess than anything. But, you know, I think, too, because of COVID and because of the moving around and not having fans in the stands and stuff like that, it's not been a fun season to enjoy. I think it's even affected fantasy football. I'll be honest with you, Kevin. We've had multiple discussions off mic about energy for this podcast because of this situation.
I'll be honest. I'm not enjoying fantasy this year. I'm not. Yeah. I'm just kind of running through the motions and setting my lineup because I don't want to be the person that doesn't set their lineup and just gives an easy win to someone. I'm not that guy. I'm going to still adjust and still drop people and add people just to stay competitive. But I have not been excited about fantasy this year. And it's because of COVID, obviously. But I'm glad that we still have real football to watch. To talk about, and if we didn't have football this year, it would just be weird and depressing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we would be really hard up for stuff. So I'm like you. I'm glad there's football. I wish it was under better circumstances. I wish things were normal, but it's not a normal time.
We're gonna have to get. There's a lot of people right now that feel 2020 is just gonna be the bad year, and 2021 is gonna be great. It's not gonna go away. We're going to have COVID for quite a while. And I could see these same protocols being put into place next season. And I could see the NFL draft going virtual again if COVID doesn't go away. So we got to be prepared for that. We got to be prepared for wearing our masks for another entire year, going through all the same stuff because it's not going to go away. These vaccines that are out there aren't going to come fast enough. And there's still a lot of people right now that don't want to take vaccines, which is weird. So it's just expect more of the same.
Yeah, I agree with you. What I can say is enjoy what we've got, because at least we've got that. But
yes, agreed.
That's going to wrap up this week's edition of The End Zone. Like I said, we will be a podcast only, no live End Zones recording. Maybe we'll try to do something for the Super Bowl, depending on who's in the Super Bowl or not, but no promises here. Right now, we're just, again, because of the craziness with COVID and everything like that, we just feel this is the best route to go. But as always, we hope that you're successful in fantasy football and that your team finds a way to once again get into the end zone.